Today's scripture reading comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 to 10 in the New Revised Standard Version. You may follow along in your own Bible app, or on page 610 in the Pew Bible. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you,' says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.' May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word."
Well, as you notice, John is not here this morning. It is Youth Sunday, and I get the opportunity to come and to speak with you this morning, which I'm really excited about. He is going to visit a friend's church that he prays with on a regular basis and gets to worship with them, so we're very excited for him to have that opportunity. I don't know about you, but I don't know if you know this song. You are the church, I am the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. How many of you learned that song as a child? Okay, pretty good show of hands. As I was preparing my sermon this morning, this particular song came to mind. I remember singing it in the educational building on the mid-level all together with great gusto on Sunday mornings. It taught me what it meant to be a part of a church, that it's a belief and a commitment to Jesus, that it wasn't about my gender, my age, my race, or my economic status. However, as I was growing up, it became obvious to me that I believed this song, but not everyone either believed it or understood it in the same way that I did. There was something unspoken about my part in the body that I couldn't quite put my finger on. I kept hearing that as a young person, I was the future of the church. While folks meant this as a hopeful and an encouraging statement, it was also frustrating for me as a teenager. I believed that God had things for me to do in the present, but I saw in practice that my thoughts and my leadership was often relegated to my peer group. Now, don't get me wrong, I did grow. I led Bible studies, I joined in prayer with my peers, and I led outside of my church family, but my real desire was for them to know and to see and to also recognize my potential. I wanted to serve alongside of adults. I wanted to learn from them, to be in friendship with them, and to see what it meant to be a flawed person who was also learning to follow Jesus. Today, I want to bring that challenge to us, to Eden, that we would gain a greater vision and open our minds and our hearts to embrace the reality that we are the church, right here, right now, together. It's an exciting time at Eden. In a few weeks, we're going to be launching a new vision. We've hired a new staff person to focus on our children and supporting our families. And I believe that God also needs to give us a new mindset, to change our way of thinking and operating for us to truly become agents of change for God's kingdom outside of our doors. But the work must first begin with here, within these walls, for God's vision, to bring God's vision to fruition. So let's unpack and examine and see how God might want each of us to change the way that we think about youth being the future of the church. From the moment we're born, we're growing old. It happens naturally. Aging can be wonderful, and it should be celebrated. It brings beauty and wisdom and maturity. And the passage of time also gives us the chance to journey through the good and the bad of life. It gives us a deep, sustaining faith as we walk through those moments. However, it can also be frustrating and damaging. I don't know about you, but you see the physical effects of it in your body. You may no longer have the same flexibility or strength or energy that you used to have. Maybe you often find yourself lamenting about the way things used to be. It's even true in our churches. More often than not, we live in the past or the way things used to be, and we too can lose energy and fresh ideas. And this trend is only amplified when our congregations are filled with those who are of the same age, when youth and vigor is missing. Now, we desire to have youth in our congregations maybe because we're anxious. We sense the loss and we feel concern about the future. If the youth were here, they would ensure our survival. They could redeem the future. But I want to propose that maybe our feelings go a little deeper than that. We feel this loss and are anxious because we're living in a reality that isn't what God intended. God created the church because we need each other. God created us to be truly complete with one another. Our children and youth need us as much as we need them. One without the other is simply incomplete. So how does Eden continue on our journey to wholeness? I believe it's when each of us, young and old alike, are truly known. What if when our children and youth walked through the doors of Eden, they were greeted by name? They were asked how they were doing, and they experienced God's great love through adults caring for them. Well, research shows that if we do this, it's not about programs to grow us, but we would grow naturally. Let's turn to our passage in Jeremiah that we read this morning and a few others to see what it might look like. Now, this passage comes to us at a difficult time in the life of Israel. The kingdom is divided. The people are continuing to follow their own path rather than God's, and soon they're going to be exiled from the promised land by their enemies. You may look at the culture around us and feel that you too are experiencing much of what the Israelites had to endure. But take hope, God has not forgotten his love for his people. In fact, he tries to warn them again and again to seek after him and not follow the culture. And that's where we enter the passage and we witness the call of Jeremiah to the people of God. Now, what kind of person did God call? Who was Jeremiah? Well, we know that Jeremiah was from a priestly family. He understood who God is and what God was asking of his people. He was a prophet. He had such a deep love for God and Israel that he was often called the weeping prophet. He would cry over the lack of repentance of the people. And he was a young man when God called him. He was 15 to 17 years old. Did you catch that? God called a teenager to call the nation to repentance. I think that we often miss the magnitude of this fact. How could God trust someone so young with so great a calling? But if you remember your major Bible stories, you see that Jeremiah wasn't the only one. David, he defeated the giant Goliath. Where were all the adults? Cowering in fear. And he was between the ages of 12 to 15 years old. Esther, she was a girl who became queen, a teenager who rescued the nation of Israel. Josiah became king when he was just 8 years old and was one of the only few kings that truly followed after God. And he even brought about national reform and a returning to God's ways. Mary, she said yes to being the mother of Jesus when she was between the ages of 13 to 15. And even some of the 12 disciples were of youth group age, as well as Timothy, who was a much-needed companion and early church leader to Paul at the age of 13. I don't know about you, but I see a pattern emerging. Let's see how God calls Jeremiah today, and let's look at verses 4 through 5. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. I love what God shares with him in his calling. I know you. In fact, I'm God and I see things that others don't. Wouldn't it be amazing if Eden were a place where our young people felt that same way, that they were known by God and others? As a parent, we watch our children grow. We observe how they think. We recognize how they operate and why they do the things they do. And oftentimes, we may even know them better than they know themselves. What if we invested that same time and energy in the children and the youth of our congregation? How would that shape, challenge, and release them into God's service? They already desire to be in a place like that, to be known for the good and the bad. And I also believe that they want their friends to know the same thing, who would in turn want their friends to know. Again, we would grow naturally. Jeremiah's calling reminds us that young people have unique talents, gifts, and perspectives to contribute. God saw this in Jeremiah. There was a specific reason that God chose him to be a prophet to Israel. As a church, we need to be encouraging and challenging our young people to use their gifts and qualities, because when they do, our entire congregation is energized for service. Young people challenge us to live out the truth of what we preach from the pulpit, in our Bible studies, and through our conversations. They're watching us to see if our words line up with how we live. They keep us honest. They bring us fresh ideas, and they help us to accomplish our mission. Young people can be a shot in the arm of passion and of energy. And if we allow it, oftentimes they bring us innovation and health and vitality. As we look further in the passage, however, we see that Jeremiah himself is reluctant to serve as God's prophet. In verse 6, he says, "Then I said, 'Ah, Lord, truly I don't know how to speak, for I am only a boy.'" What is his only rebuttal to God? "I don't know how to speak because I'm too young." Why do you think his age gave him pause? Well, I wonder if not much has changed between our time and Jeremiah's. Did he feel like many people over the centuries that adults just don't listen to them? I know that I felt that way as a young person at times, and I imagine that you did as well. When you were listened to, how did it make you feel? Frustrated? Angry? More likely, discouraged? Did there come a point where maybe even you stopped speaking? How heartbreaking that is. It doesn't have to be that way. Eden can be a place where children and youth are heard, unlike the people of Israel who failed to heed God's word through a teenager. You might be thinking, "Now wait, I know a few teenagers and they have some pretty flawed ideas." Guess what? I know a few adults and they do too. But being in relationship means listening and understanding with patience to where another person is coming from. Teenagers need a safe place to grow and to mature, to test out their crazy ideas. And when they feel that they're heard, they're better able to hear and to learn wisdom and how to submit to authority. And I believe that they will, as I did long ago, they'll listen to adults as we gently guide them into wisdom. As Christ's body, we need to encourage one another. We need to be willing to admit our flaws and our failures and to practice forgiveness. While God heard Jeremiah's rebuttal, he told him that his age didn't matter. God's response was, "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you,' says the Lord." Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth." Jeremiah didn't have to be afraid because God was the one who was calling him and sending. God was with him and gave him even a sign by touching his mouth and giving him the words to speak. Look again in verse 10 at the immense task that Jeremiah was given. "See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." What a huge God-sized task. He had to feel the immensity of it all. I know I would. What if Jeremiah had others who would have walked with him through that journey? Our young people need Eden to be that kind of a place where they can learn to think, to grow, to speak, and hear God speak God-sized dreams over them and have a place to stretch their wings. I was lucky that I did have some of those adults in this congregation who gave me those opportunities, and I wouldn't be up here today leading if someone hadn't taken that risk. When was the last time you sat and you listened to a young person share their dreams? To hear about what God was doing each day in their life? And teenagers, when was the last time you sat down with an adult and did the same thing? The young aren't the only ones who have tasks given to them by God. Adults need your support and your encouragement as well. 2 weeks ago, Pastor John, he kind of stole my verse. This was what I was going to preach from, but God had something else in mind. He preached from 1 Corinthians chapter 26 through verse 29 to talk about the wisdom of God. But I'd like to use it here this morning to talk about our young people. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. Paul reminds us that each of us are called by God. When were you called by God to love and to serve him? I have the unique privilege to be a part of those moments with many of our teenagers. I get to see them experiencing the overwhelming love God has for them and how it brings them to tears, and we celebrate together. Because of their age and station in life, not many seem to think them wise or powerful by the human standards. But God chooses them anyway. In fact, he chose them for that very reason. God's kingdom is one that often appears upside down by the world standards, but in reality, it's right side up. I'm constantly reminded in my lessons, conversations, as I serve alongside of them, that all that the teenagers have to teach me. They force me to know what I believe. They challenge me to be flexible and also unwavering. They bring me fresh insight. They push me to grow, to live out my faith, and to apologize for my mistakes. And research shows that in order to be a healthy church, we have to remember it's not about size, our location, our age, our denomination, the cool factor, a big modern building, a big budget, or a style of worship, whether we have watered down teaching or entertaining ministry, but rather it's about celebrating and allowing our young people to be a part of the church. When we say yes to Jesus, we become a part of the body. God doesn't tell us to wait until we're older to begin participating. He commands all of us to go, to love, to serve, to obey. Many of God's great revivals throughout church history have started with young people leading the way. Our challenge is to change our mindset, figure out how each one of us will answer God's call to be the church. I'd like to suggest a few things for each of us to consider. Leah, can you help? We're going to pass some things out. Chloe, can you help to assist? You at least saw how it happened this morning, right? Maybe, fingers crossed. We're going to pass out to you this little sheet of paper, a half sheet. And what I'm doing on here is I'm suggesting a few things for us to consider. As they're handing them out, I'm going to expound on them just a little bit. Hang on to this, and you're going to take it home with you. The first group I'd like to talk to is the adults in the room. The first thing I'd like you to do is please remember, change our language, change our thought process, change our mindset that the youth are not the future of the church, but they are also the church now. 2, get to know a young person's name, their interests, their thoughts. The teens here at Eden know so well, they've seen it time and time again, that you prayerfully and financially support the things that they do. But if we add relational currency to that, getting to know who they are, we're going to see so many great rewards through those relationships. 3, find a way to be a part of their team. I talk about this with our confirmation mentors, that the mentor is a part of your kids' team. They have teachers and other adults, but what if we had our church adults pouring into our young people? When we go to youth events, we're asked to bring one adult for every 5 to 10 youth. What if we applied God's upside-down kingdom principle to it, and we had 5 to 10 adults from here at Eden on one child or youth team? Can you imagine the impact it would make in their lives, or even the people watching us? To see people from their church family, this crowd of crazy people cheering on at their games or at their concerts. To receive all of these birthday cards in the mail or encouraging text messages before that big math test that you knew about. You get the idea. Number 4, seek out ways to let go of leadership adults and train them to serve alongside of you. Why should they have to wait to reach a certain age before they use their gifts and their talents to impact Eden and the wider community? 5, be willing to be transparent with your own life. Admit your imperfections and live out what you say you believe, not only on Sunday mornings, but outside of these doors. Ask them lots of good questions and encourage them in ways that encourage them to gain wisdom. Young people, this one's for you. 1, follow Timothy's advice in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. This was one as a teenager that I took very seriously. You're called to set an example of what it means to love and to serve God, not only for those outside of the family of God, but for those who are a part of it. When you do, you gain the opportunity to speak and to be heard. 2, make the most of the service opportunities that are currently being offered. There's lots of ways for you to already plug in and to serve. How are you taking advantage of those? Each week, we do have young people in this building who are serving, but not everyone is. So teens and adults alike, how can you get involved? 3, find ways to build relationships with adults and share your ideas. Seek them out. Don't wait for them to seek you out. Get to know someone. Build relationships with them, someone who's not your peer. And when you do, you'll find out they do want to know what you have to say. And work with them to bring your ideas to reality. 4, be willing to listen and seek out wisdom from those who are older. There's lots of adults who've been where you are. They've experienced great hurts and joys throughout life, and they want to help support you through your joys and through your sorrows and teenage years. My challenge to you is to take the paper that we passed out to you home. Prayerfully consider the ideas that are presented, or maybe God's putting something else on your heart altogether. Write down that one thing you're going to choose to do differently this week and in the coming months. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it on a regular basis to remind yourself that we are the church. And we are so grateful for all of those who are already sitting out here who are Sunday school teachers, who are nursery workers, who are confirmation mentors, cook teams, and even our youth volunteers. Thank you for already showing and leading the way of what it means to be the church. Like Jeremiah, we have a call from God to answer. It's not dependent on our age or our life experience. And I pray moving forward that we'll embrace one another, set an example of Christ for each of us to follow, and to remember that we will not, that all of us in this building today, that we are the church. Because when we do, we'll not only experience growth, but the great richness of relationships that's to be found in the body of Christ. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Father, we thank you that you've called us into the body of Christ. I thank you that this call is not dependent on external qualities or what we have to offer, but it's about your grace extended to us in Jesus. May we not allow what we perceive as great or wise by the world's standards to be Eden's standard. Help us to truly get to know one another, celebrate our uniqueness, and be known by one another. And may the love you've given each of us be contagious to the watching world. And may many desire to enter into relationship with you and one another here in this place. Send us forth this day, empowered to love and to serve you differently than we entered. Amen.